ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
On ABC Radio, you're with Rod Quinn. It is time for our weekly look at the world of health and fitness with Professor Gordon Lynch. Gordon, good morning.
Good morning, Rod.
This morning, Gordon, we're going to boost our brain power. Now, I do that every week simply by talking to you, but we've got some simple tips, or at least you have, how to increase and maintain your brain power. What is brain power, Gordon?
It's an interesting point. What is brain power? I mean, the brain being, it's a pretty complex organ, and you think about all the functions it has in our daily lives, how we interpret senses, how we, the control of our movements, how we maintain our cognitive, our mental, our emotional processes, our normal behavior and our social cognition. The brain is doing a lot. So brain health, preserving brain integrity and mental and cognitive function at all ages, but especially as we get older, is really important. So if we can develop, if we can improve, if we can maintain our brain power, that's about the integrity and its functions, important for carrying out the tasks of daily living, important for simple and complex tasks, whether at work, whether we're at play, and essentially for the quality, the enjoyment of the quality of life. So brain power is really about improving brain health and maintaining that for as long as possible.
Okay. Now, people might think, well, the way to increase your brain power, the best way, is to do complex functions, perhaps, or exercise your brain. But you're saying perhaps just general physical exercise might be the place to start.
Yeah, so how the physical benefits the mental. And there are many studies. Now, regular exercise has been shown to boost and maintain brain power, if we call that, across the lifespan, from early childhood through the adult years and when we're older. So being physically active improves blood flow to the brain and can help maintain cognitive function as we get older. Now, there have been two recent studies in the last couple of weeks that have really reinforced this particular message about the benefits of exercise for brain health. The first came from Rutgers University, was published in the journal Aging Cell, and it showed that specialized cells involved in how the body responds to insulin are activated in the brain after exercise. So it suggested that physical activity may directly improve brain function, especially important for those who may be prone to diabetes. So exercise is potentially able to improve the brain's capacity to respond to insulin, and that's essential for nerve function and cognition. The second study, and that came from the University of Bristol in the UK and the Federal University of Sao Paulo in Brazil, and it was published in the journal Brain Research, and it found that regular aerobic exercise could reduce disease markers associated with Alzheimer's disease. Now, this was a study in aged rats, Rod, so we've got to take that into consideration. But these rats underwent treadmill running exercise training, and the researchers were focused on the area of the brain called the hippocampus, which is the region responsible for memory and learning. And they found that exercise reduced inflammation as well as the buildup of harmful metals and proteins in the brains of these exercising rats, which improved the communication between brain cells. So these are markers that are really important for the Alzheimer's pathology. So again, it shows us that integrating regular aerobic exercise into daily life could play a crucial role in slowing or preventing Alzheimer's progression. And from a public health perspective, that's really important that we push messages about why exercise is important, especially for aging populations. So these researchers are actually planning human clinical trials now to confirm these protective effects that they saw in the rats. So these are just two recent studies that reinforce that message that physical exercise is good for brain health. All exercise is good, Rod, but I think the evidence is suggesting that aerobic exercise, if we push the message about 30 minutes on most days of the week, if we can aim for that, preferably more if we can, but walking as a start, jogging, cycling, swimming on most days of the week, those sorts of things, exercises that are good for the heart are usually also good for the brain. So I think, again, exercise, the physical benefiting the mental health. So I think a really important message there.
All right. But you do have to exercise your brain mentally as well as physically. So how do you do that?
You're right. I think we should think about how we keep our minds sharp by doing tasks or challenges that will make the brain react to different things. So word puzzles and card games and board games and the calculation of numbers in your head. Games on your phone, on your computer, those sorts of things can help exercise the mind and boost memory and creativity. I'm not sure. I often try and do those puzzles in the New York Times, the Wordle and Spelling Bee and those
connections.
Sorts of things. Connections and those sorts of things. And sometimes they have sometimes an American flavor to some of them, so they actually can be quite challenging. But I think just those little things, if we get in the habit of doing them, they're just different ways that we can exercise the brain through these particular, different challenges and tasks.
It's been said to learn a language, so you're using a different part of your brain, learn a musical instrument, I've mentioned them before. They are the sorts of things that might possibly help delay dementia or ward off dementia, but that is doing something that you haven't done before. Play cards, that's another thing. It's not necessarily the way that dementia or other brain problems might develop. It may not stop that, but at least it keeps your mind active rather than just, say, passively reading a book or watching TV or something like that.
Yeah, I think when you've mentioned before about the learning of a musical instrument or a language, I think those are two things that I have not done, and I really would like to do those maybe in the years to come.
On ABC Radio Overnights with Rod Quinn, Gordon Lynch is our guest. What about what you eat? How important is that?
Yeah, I'm thinking from our dietary perspective, it's about the fat intake, but diets that are high in saturated fat can impair cognitive function, whereas diets rich in omega-3 fatty acids like fish oil, they've been associated with improved brain function. So if we think about diets that are high in antioxidants, from vegetables and nuts and grains and fruits and those different omega-3s, it's sort of the best nutritional approach for improving brain function and slowing the rate of cognitive decline from aging. Now, last week, Rod, we talked about vegetables and fruits as crucial components of potentially cancer-fighting diets. So the same can be said about them being essential for a diet that promotes brain health. And I think that 5 veg, 2 fruit message is a good place to start to try and improve our intake of antioxidants from our diet.
Alcohol, also, you need to make sure that you consume that in moderation. But your moderation might be different to my moderation, might be different to somebody else's moderation. How do you know what is intake in moderation?
I think the message about alcohol and health has changed, especially in the last few years. So we know that chronic excessive alcohol intake is associated with shrinkage of the brain and impaired memory and cognition. And I think earlier studies had shown some benefits of moderate alcohol consumption on various aspects of health, including brain function. But more recent evidence is less supportive of that stance. And the more recent evidence is either inconclusive or it doesn't show any benefits of moderate exercise on different aspects of health. So if you're choosing to drink, I think you need to tread very carefully and consume in moderation. And, you would say, what does that mean? It would be something as like one glass of wine a day, perhaps, or even do you really need that? That's the evidence is suggesting that the benefits that were purported some years ago is not necessarily stacking up for different aspects of health. Avoid excessive consumption, especially avoiding binge drinking.
Okay. Now, we talked about the musical instrument, we talked about learning a language, but there are other things you could do. Try new things. That, again, sparks your brain, gets your brain moving in areas it might not have moved before. What are you talking about? Taking up hobbies or reading different books? I don't know. What are you talking about here?
I think it's a mindset thing. It's not being afraid to make mistakes if you're trying something new. Instead of being discouraged if it's not working out the first time, you learn from your experiences and you're inventive and so on. So it's about looking for ways creative ways to improve your performance. So keeping positive, avoiding the negativity that could stifle, you know, the desire to want to try different things that might be beneficial or enjoyable. So I think, you know, staying positive just enhances that brain power, whereas unwanted negativity has the negative effect. It puts you into the zone where you really don't want to try things. So I think it's the mindset, it's trying new things and being optimistic and positive about that.
Okay. There used to be a book, was it in the 1970s, Gordon, called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. Well, some stuff is bigger than others, but you're saying also one of the ways to keep your brain healthy is not to sweat the small stuff. Well, what are you talking about there? Because there are things that people do need to worry about, or at least if not worry about them, actually do something about them.
Yeah, I think what I'm referring to there is when people say to you, oh, just chill out, take it easy, it's not important. And I think it's much easier said than done, because some things are actually very important to us and maybe less important to others. But it's really about stress and how stress affects your concentration. If you're stressed, your concentration suffers, you won't be thinking as clearly or as effectively as you should. So relaxation and breathing techniques can really benefit not just the physical but also the mental state as well. So reducing the stress and tension, keeping that positive frame of mind that I mentioned just before. So controlling stress and anxiety helps keep your mind clear so you can make appropriate decisions. That allows you to make the decisions that affect the control over your life. The world's getting more complex than ever, so you know, trying to maintain that approach is going to be really important. So breathing exercises, meditation, some people use massage as a way to relax. They're just some of the ways that you may want to, you know, use to get rid of that unwanted stress. And it's often the way we respond to stress that makes us feel stressed. So identifying ways that we can think more clearly, put certain situations into the appropriate perspective, will maybe keep our mind at peace as well. So as I mentioned before, it's easier said than done, but adopting that approach and thinking about ways we can control stress could have a very positive effect and benefit for our mental health. So, you know, just a few suggestions there to improve our brain power through better brain health, and hopefully there are some things there we can adopt straight away.
You know, one of the things we really need to keep in mind, some people at certain ages of their life, is that if their brain has been very active through work, whether you are in an office or whether you work at a university, perhaps as you do, or perhaps just whatever it is that you do, your brain is active. When you stop working, you retire or take leave or whatever it is that you do, suddenly your brain or that part of your brain is switched off, and you need to find something to keep your brain active, don't you?
You do, and I think it's also about those social interactions, and the social interactions we can possibly take for granted in the workplace where you're interacting with people, and it may not necessarily be as important as you might think, but they are. You know, it's maintaining the ability to have a conversation with someone, and if you're out of that environment and the situation changes, how do you stimulate those aspects of your mental capacity and your brain power? So I think, as you say, taking up different challenges, how we might keep active if the environment changes, become very important. And I think we need to plan ahead, if we can, to ensure that we're maintaining those aspects of our brain health.
All right. Gordon, thank you very much. As always, we'll talk to you same time next week.
Thank you very much, Rod.
Gordon Lynch, Health and Fitness.
ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.